Good morning, everyone. It is time to do Q&A with the tribe. If you're wondering, I'm over here getting up my stuff for everyone. Excuse me. If you have a question, make sure you use hashtag ask. If you're watching the replay, you might want to wait a minute or two or fast forward to figure out where we're at. And that will be good. Let me get this one thing done, guys. This will take just a second. I need to get my screens correct. I don't have my screens up correctly. Okay. So let's talk about, before you guys ask some questions, let's talk about, what would be good? How about failing fast? The idea of what failing fast means. So failing fast means that you are willing to do anything that it takes to try new things, to see how fast you can blow through all the things that won't work until you find the things that do. So a lot of you are going through and wanting to know exactly how to do something, or you are wanting to know exactly where to start. You want to know exactly what's next for you. You spend a lot of time trying to figure out the perfect way, and that is the most bullshit slow way to lose weight. The fastest, if you want to lose weight fast, you need to get in there and you need to, like, every single day try something new with a hunger scale until you figure it out. Every single day you need to plan realistically until the scale starts moving. You need to overeat, like, put yourself in front of your favorite foods, try them, see if you can plan them, and stop and see what happens, and then ask questions about it. Like, all of that stuff has to happen in order for you to lose weight. Nobody joined PNP because shit was going to start going right in their life. What I see is the slowest way to lose weight for all of you is you join and then you start looking around at the world to see how you can get everything outside of you aligned perfectly so that you don't have urges and it's not hard and you're not tempted, all for fear that you won't be able to control those things. The only way you learn how to have control over urges and temptations and everything like that is to actually have them and keep trying new techniques until you get it right. And it takes a long time. Most of you have, like, years and years and years of trying to lose weight, or years and years and years of just being overweight and eating patterns that's just going to take time until you find the things that are going to work for you. So I wanted to kind of open up with that because, like, if I could convince you guys to make more mistakes and to not beat yourself up for them, but understand, like, oh, that is what's supposed to be happening. I'm going to quit arguing with reality. Arguing with the reality is the most exhausting way, and it is the surefire way to get you to quit. And then when you quit, this is what happens. A lot of you quit to get some relief, and you're just like, why bother? I'm going to tell you why you should just keep going. And while you feel like shit, keeping going. While you feel like a failure. While you feel self-doubt. Because if history is going to repeat itself at all, because, and I know how y'all love going back to your past to see how history repeats itself. Ask yourself, oh, if I started this diet, how many times in my life have I restarted one? Or am I going to quit this and be like, I have officially sworn off trying to lose weight for the rest of my life? If you're going to quit and you're going to say, like, you know what? Here's where I'm at. I'm never going to think about my weight ever again. I'm never going to try to lose weight again. I'm never going to beat myself up for my weight again. This is just what I'm doing. Then that's when you know it's time to quit. But if you think you're going to quit and then in 2 weeks get an ass full of yourself and be exhausted and tired and want to lose weight and stuff again, your quitting slows you down. Your resistance to failing slows you down. Your inability to learn how to talk better to yourself after a mistake slows you down. Y'all think what slows weight loss down is what you're eating. The choices. The quantities. Like, no. I'm going to tell you, the biggest slowdown in weight loss is always the people who are resistant to starting something because they're afraid. So they sit there and they're afraid they can't lose weight instead. That never makes sense. The people who are resisting making a mistake, so they don't do anything because they're so afraid they'll make a mistake or they'll screw up. So then they sit in that same weight, still afraid,
And then the people who are like quitting because they don't do it perfectly and they think that something's wrong with them rather than like, I'm supposed to learn from this. What am I supposed to learn from this? Like, that is what slows weight down more than anything. All right. Questions. I haven't lost any weight. I'm an April baby. A part of me is resistant and wanting to prove Corinne wrong. Total BS. How do I turn this around? Well, I need to, Irma, you need to tell me what you're resisting. Like, so I'm not doing these things to prove Corinne wrong. Like, first of all, if you're not losing any weight, you're proving me right, I would almost bet. Give me more detail, Irma, about what's going on. Because I'm just going to tell you right now, quit the tribe. If your goal is to prove me wrong, don't pay me money. That's stupid. I'm just going to tell you. Like, I really want you to think about this, Irma. I'm just going to call you out. I would stop paying me today. If your only goal is to prove me wrong, go do that for free. You can do that without paying me $59 a month. Or you can just trust that I have helped thousands of women at this point doing these simple things, and you just get on board and quit making it hard for yourself. The only thing that you're actually proving me right by making it hard on yourself. What do I always tell you guys? When you don't do what I tell you to do, you make it hard on yourself. You sit around struggling. When you, guys, I want all of you to quit reading the fucking Four Tendencies or whatever the rebel book is. That is the most poisonous thought ever. You know what you need to be rebelling on? You've got it all wrong. Like, well, I'm going to rebel against this program I'm paying for. Why don't you rebel against the bullshit in your brain? If you want to be a real rebel, grow a pair of balls and be a rebel against all the crap that you tell yourself that keeps you from your goals. That's a true rebel. What I call you guys is fucking weenies. You're sitting there doing shit you don't want to do. That's not rebellion. That is not rebellion. That's called wimping out, not being a rebel at all, and saying, you know what? I don't want to do shit that's hard. Every rebel, like, I'm a rebel. You know why I'm a rebel? Because I go out and I build a business. I go out and lose 100 pounds. I buck the diet system by doing it differently than everyone else. I cuss and yell at my clients to get them to do shit. I'm a rebel. So if you want to be a rebel, be a real rebel and quit telling yourself a lie like, I'm a rebel. Rebels, you know what we do? We like buck the system by not doing stuff that's going to make us uncomfortable. That's not what a, like, I want you to think about a rebellion. Think about like every, like, think about countries where people are trying to uprise against dictatorship. They're not sitting there going, I might go out in the streets today and like speak my heart and try to break the chains of tyranny, but only if I want to. That's not it. You know what a rebel does? Says, this is bullshit. We will not live like this anymore. I will risk my life. I will show up today. And that, like, my life depends on it. My family's life depends on it. And that stuff, that's a rebel. So if you want to define yourself that way, you go right ahead. But otherwise, I want you to just tell yourself, you know what I'm doing? I'm like one of those people that takes the easy way out. I'm sitting around not doing shit because I don't want to. I'm what's called the toddler. It's a big difference, guys. All right. Let's see. My hair is driving me crazy. Can you tell us more about your struggles with your mom and how you worked through them? Yes. So let's talk about my mother. So my mom and I, first of all, she was 17 when she had me. She grew up in a small town in Alabama and was told she couldn't finish high school. They gave her a diploma, but she was not allowed to finish high school because back then you just didn't do that. My grandmother wanted her to have an abortion, and she didn't do that. So then my grandmother wanted her to let her adopt me, and my mom didn't want to do that. So she decided to have my brother, like, she actually had my brother 19 months after me. This was like back in the 70s, dudes. Like, this is when all this stuff was not so mainstream. And because of that, she just, you know, honestly wasn't super mature. And so when I was growing up, it was like being raised almost by a big sister and not being raised by a mom. And I definitely have a very dominant personality. And so when we were growing up, we argued a lot. I had a lot of responsibility from the time that I remember at the age of 5, because my mom had to work like 2 jobs. She had to work a lot of night shifts. She didn't have a college education. She was always working like minimum wage jobs. You know, we just didn't have money. And I remember the age of 5, my mom leaving us at home for me to watch my 3-year-old brother like all day, and I would call if something bad happened. So from an early age, like I felt like an adult, right? Like an adult in the whole thing. And so, you know, I was like responsible for cleaning the house, and I remember cooking at a young age and just all the things. And I don't say all that to, like, I just want to give you some background as to why, like, once I got to my teen years, like, I felt like I was 40 when I was 15. I just never felt, like, I just didn't feel like a child. I always felt like an adult. And my teen years were just rough because my mom was working all the time. I was free to do whatever I wanted to do. And then she would come home and then, like, try to be a mom and, like, want me, like, she was more worried in my teen years that I was going to get pregnant. I had a boyfriend who I didn't even sleep with. I was so afraid of getting pregnant. So my mom had always talked about how I ruined her life. And she didn't mean it. Like I look back on it, she would say it, but I was a teenager internalizing it. Like I had ruined her life, but she would say it not meaning I had done it. But like her choices, I think what she really meant was she wasn't going to be able to have the life that she dreamed or whatever. So regardless, my teen years, I spent with this boyfriend and my mom trying to like tell me what I could and couldn't do. And then there were other times where I was just free to do anything and I needed to run the house and I needed to pay my own bills and I needed to, you know, like I didn't get money. Like I had to buy all my own clothes. If I ever did anything at school with my car, gas, everything, like it was all on me. And I worked a lot during high school. I was like the hardest working kid. I was a server at 16. I would work every shift they would give me, and then I would work off the clock just for tips so that I could just make money because I didn't have money. Like my mom wasn't going to be buying anything. She bought uniforms and she didn't buy food. Like if I wanted to eat, I had to buy my own food stuff. And so she would do like dinner, but if I ever wanted breakfast and lunch, you know, like it was on me or it was a hungry day. I always look back and I'm like, it's amazing I was overweight in high school because I remember so many days being so hungry. But, and so I had a lot of health problems in high school too. I developed ulcers. I developed, we called it, it's IBS now. I developed depression. I ended up attempting suicide at 17. So we just had a rocky time. Throughout my 20s, our relationship was up and down. I worked with her a lot, but I think that our problems were always, after a certain while, I think my big issue was I just didn't respect my mother's opinion. And just, I always felt let down by her as a mom. And that was my own shit. And that was me thinking she should have been differently, that my life would have turned out different if she had been different. If she had done this, I would be different. And during that time, it would have been such a quicker way for me to, just create the life I wanted if I wasn't sitting around looking at how my mom let me down and I was focused more on how am I going to build myself up now. And I didn't even get to that point until my 30s and 40s. When I hit my 30s, I had Logan. And my mom and I didn't talk for like over a year once. She said some stuff about Logan's autism one day that I don't want to go into it, but really hurt me. And I just decided I wasn't speaking to her for a year. Like I just needed a break. I think it was the first time that I realized that I was going to have to do some work on my mom for me, not for her. So we didn't talk. I went to a lot of therapy that year. I was like this every single therapy session. And then we finally started talking again. And it was probably another year, and it wasn't good even during that time. But I didn't want to
my mom's always had health problems. Like, she's over 300 pounds. She struggles with all kinds of, you know, she's always just struggled. And I was afraid she would die and I wouldn't be speaking to her. So we started talking again. It wasn't good, but it wasn't until I really went to the life coach school that I just decided I had to take my own ownership in all of the things. I had to quit thinking that she was letting me down. I had to quit thinking that things should have been different. I had to quit thinking that she could push my buttons and all that kind of stuff. Like, I really had to start defining the relationship for me. And one of the things that I've done is I have certain things that, like, I'm just like everybody else. Like, there are just times that my mom will say things and I get angry. But I always know now that I'm only angry because it's stuff that I'm like, and these are the things that I personally don't like. And the way that I react with my anger now is not yelling and screaming and trying to get her to understand why that's so bad, which is what I used to do. And it's like, that is so useless. It's what I do now is when I notice I'm angry with my mom, I take full ownership that it's because of what I'm thinking. And I do more work on me. My reaction is to figure out how I want to think and feel, shore up my beliefs about me, you know, just let her say what she wants to say. But I do, like, that's my trigger to do the work on myself, to figure out, do I believe any of it? You know, what is this about? Like, I use it as my trigger to work on me, not my trigger to try to change her. And I would think that that's, like, if I had to sum it all up into anything, it's the, it's probably that. It's the idea that my mom can't piss me off anymore. You know, and it's not that she doesn't say things that I don't get angry about. It's that my mom says things and I decide whether I'm angry or not. It's my mom says things and I decide whether I want that or not. It's never from a place of she should be different. And I see a lot of you say, like, well, I'm going to choose to be angry because she should be different. That's not the way it works. It's like, I choose to be angry or I choose to be disappointed or whatever because, like, this is the things that I've decided aren't the way that I think and that I do. And I just have compassion for myself that I don't always have to be like 100% all in on, like, everything's fine. Everything's fine. I don't do that. But I don't react anymore with yelling, screaming, arguing, trying to change her, proving a point, none of that. And the reason why is because as I was working on my relationship with her, what I realized is that all of that hurt one person in particular, and that would be me. It was exhausting. It was tiring. It disappointed me. I didn't even like myself when I was doing it. There was so much going on there for me. And I was like, I don't want to live like that anymore. And that's kind of how the relationship's gone. Now, what's funny is you asked that is I'm going to Miami in October for a mentoring weekend. And we're having like this big photo shoot and all this stuff. And we are staying like at a nice hotel on the beach and all this other bullshit. So it's like, woo, I'm so excited. Well, we've been trying to book this trip. And my mom lives 3 hours north of Miami now. And I texted her yesterday and I said, I've got all these Marriott points because I do all these events with you guys. And so, like, I'm always like racking up Marriott points that I never use. And I said, I'm going to get a hotel room for 2 days. I'm going to fly into Fort Lauderdale so I can use my Southwest. I like to use Southwest. I don't like flying anybody else. And I was like, you pick me up. Let's spend 2 days in Miami at a really nice hotel and let's do spa day. And then you can drive back home and I'll just Uber to Fort Lauderdale to leave once my meetings are over. And she was like, I'm all in. Because my mom never has had, like, she's never been just treated really nicely to things and stuff like that. And I think one of the benefits of, you know, as I've grown my business is to be able to do for her in ways that she was never able to do for us. And so I would have never, ever even considered doing that had it not been me just releasing anger over who she should be and stuff. Because I wouldn't have wanted to spend 2 days with her. I wouldn't, like, I remember, like, my mom has always wanted me to buy her shit and stuff. And like, my first thought when she says that is always, you shouldn't ask for that. And I'm just like,
There's no reason why she shouldn't. She should just ask. I just get to say no. And that's okay too. But when I want to do something, like when I'm in that space, then when I do want to do something nice for her or I want to do something with her, there it is. You know, it just makes it easier to like, I mean, I literally didn't even have to think about it yesterday. I just thought this is such a good idea. So I hope that helps. I've adjusted my dinner to a light meal of yogurt, fruit, and nuts because I found that I do not process heavier meals well in the evening. It's so funny you mentioned this, Tanya, because I don't know if it's Tanya or Tanya, but I'm losing weight and seeing the results, but I have a nagging fat girl thought that I'm just shortcutting weight loss and all that crap, trying to redirect the fat girl, but she's a bitch thoughts. I think it's normal to have that thought. I mean, you're doing something different. This is what I want you guys to think about. When you, my hair is like jackadoo. When you do anything different, guys, don't get freaked out that your brain throws up objections. It's supposed to throw up objections to make you think through it. So if you'll think through it, like, I want you to think about this. This is your brain trying to think through what's going on. And, like, this is when you, like, say, no, it's okay. Like, this feels better in my body, all this other. This is, like, don't just sit there and be like, I can't believe you're thinking this. Do not be punitive about it. Be like, no, this is why we're doing this. Reinforce that it's the right thing for you. But it's funny you mentioned it, Tanya. I'm reading this book, and God, y'all, don't ask me the name. It's a brand new one, but it's woo-woo. It's all about, it's all about like timing and Ayurvedic shit and all this woo crap. But I was really interested in it because it talks about, like, you know me, I'm a planner. I love knowing what I'm going to be doing all day, every day. And this book talks about how, like, if you stage when you do things optimally, you can, like, be more productive and you can feel better and whatnot. And one of the things it talks about in there is that you should, like, it talks about, like, what you should do in the morning in terms of exercise and breakfast and lunch and all this other stuff. And they're not a big fan of snacking either. Like, I'm not a big fan of snacking because I think most of you are snacking for entertainment. Very rarely do I have somebody like, I'm for sure hungry and need a snack every day. Someone's like, I'm afraid I'm going to get hungry, so I'm going to need a snack. It's like, that's not hunger, that's fear. But dinner is this light meal that they were talking about. And it talks about like how the stomach and the rhythms and all this other stuff works. And so I've been trying it the last few days. I'm just like, well, now I'm going to I've been having my big meal as lunch and having a much lighter meal at dinner. And I was telling Chris over the summer, I'd kind of like if he could be home by 5:30, like let's eat dinner at 5:30 and like be done. Because sometimes I just notice, like for me, I'm really hungry between 4 and 5. And I often want to wait until like 7 to eat so I can eat with the boys or whatever. And I was reading this book, and what I want to do is play this summer with really setting up structures to see if I have more energy. I've just been having a hard time with energy lately. I'm refusing to do all the caffeine and stuff, but I'm like, something's got to change because I'm like tired a lot. And I know it's because my brain is working on high gear right now. Like I am, guys, if y'all saw my board right now, of all the things that I have as ideas for you guys, all of the content that I'm creating for the rest of the year and stuff, it's amazing, but it's a lot of studying. And so if I'm not with you guys or creating it, I'm studying it. So I know it's just, I think this is where I'm just getting to that age where I'm starting to realize, and I hope all of you guys see this. If you're thinking all the time, you're going to be tired. That is why we need some breaks in our thinking. That's why I tell a lot of you, like when you get home in the afternoon, if you've been like grinding it out since 6 a.m. and it's 4 or 5 o'clock, you are going to want food if you're not giving yourself a break. If you're not letting your brain like literally like it needs a chill down time. It needs some kind, even if it's in the car where you just don't think of anything but something peaceful and relaxing. Like I'm just kind of playing in the space of all this right now. Because what I've noticed with our tribe is the biggest reason so many of you are overeating is mental exhaustion. It's not always fat girl thinking. It's not always you need new thoughts. It's not always some kind of boogeyman problem underneath the bed. A lot of you are just fucking mentally exhausted by the end of the day. And rather than figuring out how to relax your brain some, and like work on some of those strategies,
You're eating to gear up for the, like, to keep it going. It's no different than if somebody is smoking, hitting a crack pipe, just eating for energy. I mean, it's all the same. You know, like gobbling caffeine down around the clock. So it's like, I'm doing a lot of research on mental exhaustion and techniques around that, you know, to combine with our thought work. You know, a lot of you need some thought work to get to level off some of the mental. A lot of your mental exhaustion is self-imposed because you've got so much negative bullshit going on in your brain. But then when you take that part out, what we're left with is 50% of our life is already going to be negative. That's just the way life is. It's like sometimes traffic's going to suck. You know, like people are going to disappoint us. Mama's going to call and say something like butt-ass wild. Like those things are just going to happen. And that's the 50%. It's when y'all load more on top of that, that it steals some of your other 50% away. But then you've got the 50% where you're happy. And in the mix of that, we have to learn also just how to relax our brain. So once you get to where you're pretty good at managing what you think about and you're not like compounding, like you're not comparing and despairing and victim mentality-ing yourself to death and doing those things, once all that's eradicated and you're just left with like normal life, what we need to do is also think about the mental exhaustion factor and what we're doing there. Basic question, but I truly don't know. Is body weight resistance training the same as weight training, strength training? They're a little different, but I'll explain it. I have been going to 9 round, and we do lots of body weight exercises, but no weight training with weights. Is there a big difference? There is some difference. I mean, when you use weights, it works you differently. But a lot of people will do just fine with body weight resistance also. So I like when I train, I mix them up. Like most of my weight training sessions has a little bit of body weight and a lot of weights. Or I'm just doing all weights one day. And then some days I just do a body weight thing. So it just depends on what you're doing. But you're not doing it wrong. As long as you're doing some resistance training, whether you're doing it with your body or you're doing it with weights, you're doing fine. The thing about body weight resistance training that I think is super beneficial is you have to stabilize your core more. Like body weight resistance training is going to require more muscles to work in sync with each other. You're going to work a lot of tinier muscles more. A lot of times when you're using weights, you're using just your bigger muscles and you're doing single patterns, but those bigger muscles are getting more resistance. But then when you're using body weight, you're just using different things. Like you're putting in together, like using your brain. I forget what it's called. It's basically where your mind and your like muscle-mind connection have to work more together when you're doing body weight. And usually your balance and your core work is going to be more engaged when you're doing that than what you would be doing with traditional weightlifting. But what traditional weightlifting has a lot of benefit on its own too. I've lost my weight, so I'm in maintenance mode. And if I lose a couple more pounds, then fine, but I get very frustrated with the maintenance process. For instance, if I have a nice loss 1 week, I will then show a gain for the next 2 weeks. It feels like a vicious cycle, but is this what true maintenance is all about? Is there anything else I should be doing or enjoying the process? Yeah, that's what maintenance is. So maintenance is usually, it depends on what, like I have a 10-pound maintenance range. Some people have a 5-pound. I would never have less than 5, though. Sometimes people will drive themselves batshit crazy wanting to weigh one specific number or within 2 pounds of that number. I'm like, give yourself a 5-pound window. Like, literally give yourself a 5-pound window. I have a 10-pound window. It depends on what time of year it is. It depends on what, like, mine is more 5 pounds now, but when I, like, in the years where I've been doing marathons or if I'm doing heavy weight training and stuff like that, I usually have, like, a 10-pound. So, like, I have, like, what I call, like, here's where I like to be, and then I can be anywhere 10 pounds from there. And then I just kind of work within that range. These days, I'm more within 5 because I'm just not training for anything super duper. Like, I'm not doing any half marathons. I'm not doing anything like that anymore. But, y'all, you got me snotty when I started crying about my mama. The big thing is that you will, like, totally drive yourself crazy if you don't have a range. So, if you're in maintenance, I would have a range and you just stay within that and you just monitor it each week. And that's all, I mean, but that is maintenance. You're just, whether like you can be completely on plan and stuff, and you're just going to have some weeks where hormonally, the weather, whatever it may be, where you're going to be up or down a little bit. There are like some days when I weigh, I will go in there thinking, beast mode today. Like, seriously, if I'm not at my low end, I will be, like, so surprised. And I will be above my range. And I'm like, what happened? And it's always water. It's, like, there are days where I can feel really thin, but my muscles are packing a lot of water. So I don't look any bigger. And certain areas are really flattened out. And, but I can just tell, like, it, oh, 2 days ago, I lifted really heavy. That's why I feel lean, but I'm weighing more today. So it's the more you look at it, and what you need to do is, like, you will not see those trends, and you will not notice those things, and you will not notice hormones and stuff if you're not curious. When you're frustrated, you're not curious. You're frustrated. You're thinking something's gone wrong. When you're curious, you're curious as to why this is the way it is, to see, is this right? Or is this where I just need to do like a little autocorrect on something I'm doing? Tips for feeling the feels. Doing self-love journal prompts. Finding myself playing in the dirty diaper with past thoughts. Finding myself really realizing I've suppressed all the feels with food and drink, and now I'm more pissed. You don't need to be pissed about it. Here's the thing. Here's the best way to feel the feels. Quit being pissed that you suppressed it and be grateful that you're figuring that out now. Mad about the feels, mad about the thought, I've ate and drank to suppress my feelings. Yeah, that is your brain saying, oh, so now we're going to suppress learning from this by sitting around being angry so we can get back to all of that eating. If you're going to be frustrated with it, the reason why you're being frustrated with yourself is so that you can get back to all the eating and suppression. Rather than just being, well, thank God I'm figuring this out now. That's the way I have felt the last, like, few years. I'm like, I am 45 this year. It literally, like, I would say I have gotten into the meat of understanding how to feel my feelings and manage my thoughts and stuff in the last 2 years. And I went through certification 4 years. So, like, basically, let's just say at 42 years old is when I figured out how to do all of this. I didn't sit around going, all the years I've wasted, all the years I ate, all the years. No, that's so pointless. And you just tell yourself when that comes up, it's like, okay, that's pointless. Moving on. Just be, like, be amused that your brain wants to get angry about bullshit. That's what I talk about. When I talk about the 50-50, it's like, you're going to find some stuff that you actually need to work on in your life without creating shit. You're creating drama for the sake of drama. Why don't you just get to the feeling of the feels that are real, and this part of it, just be like, oh, that's the part I need to skip. That's called the doo-doo, and I'm just not doing that. Like, at any time you guys are doing stuff like that, I'm going to give you a secret. You can just be like, oh, I choose not to do that right now. Just because my brain went there doesn't mean I have to be like, and follow it. Y'all, we are not like dogs. Just because there's something moving in the yard, we don't have to go chase it. That's the way y'all act about your brains. It's like, oh, there's a thought moving in the bushes. I better go jump on that. It's like, that's bullshit. You get to decide where you take your brain. Decide. I've been stopping at my side thinking it's my two. Like 10 minutes later, I'm hungry, really hungry. What are some other two signals? Melanie, I would ask that in the tribe. Like, that's my signal, so you got me tapped. That's a good question to just post in the tribe and just like, let's have a plus two discussion today. What do you feel in your body when you hit your plus two and go? And then you will have, people love threads like that, y'all. Everybody loves talking about their plus two. Everybody loves talking about their hunger signals. That is an amazing post because then you'll get like 80 different people and all of their different signals and you'll hear it. You've got mine. I'm the sign. It's obviously not your sign. On feeling the feels in your body, I did this last night for the first time and made a list of the physical sensations. My brain is on fire with the project of figuring out all the feelings. I'm wondering if the physical sensations for each feeling change over time. Does anger feel the same in your body now as it used to? Mine does. Mine has not changed. When I get angry, whoop, my body knows exactly what to go to, but that doesn't mean that that's the case. I'm just going to tell you that I have not noticed that my physical sensations ever changed. Now, my willingness to tolerate it
has changed a lot now that I accept that, oh, that's all anger really is these feelings. Oh, depression, that's really only these physical sensations. That's all that it really is. And I've also noticed that it's easier for me to, like, get angry or whatever and just pause and stop and to think about, like, to catch myself thinking what I'm thinking and then ask myself, is this worth being angry over? Like, this is your thought. Do you want it or not? Sometimes the answer is yes. And most of the time when I'm, like, willing to be angry, I'm like, okay. Like, yeah, I want to be angry right now. And I just want to sit there and I want to feel some anger. And I want to let those thoughts run through. But I never, what I do is I don't sit there and go, like, and it's because they did this. It's like, no, I'm going to sit here with my own thoughts. And when it starts running its course, I'm like, okay, well, like, I really need to get productive. So what needs to happen? Like, what's going to be the next step? That is, like, been one of the most beneficial things I've ever done for myself is learning how to feel my feelings. I never seem to reach the weight goals I put in my four circles, and I get all these feelings of failure, and there is drama every way and day. Am I hurting myself for reaching for these goals? Should I not even put weight numbers in there? No, here's the problem. This is showing you this, guys. I want everybody to hear this. She's writing down numbers, and she's not making the numbers. And rather than figuring out why she's not making the numbers, to feel better, she wants to quit writing down numbers. To feel better would be to solve for why you're not making the numbers, challenge yourself to make the numbers, and eventually get there. To feel better would be to not make it mean you're failing. The numbers are not making you feel failure. Numbers, my thought is, I can't fucking do this. I feel like a failure. It's not the numbers that are the problem. Y'all always want to work on the circumstance. Let me change the circumstance. Maybe if I don't write numbers down anymore, I won't feel like a failure. You also won't know where you're going. You also won't know, like, if you're on target or not. You also won't know if you need what you need to assess. So you will create failure for yourself. You won't feel like one. You just create some failure. Because you won't know what you're doing. We do not run from our circumstances because we don't feel good about them. What we do is we engineer how we're going to think. So let me go back to this. Should I dial back on my weight expectations? I'm only hoping to lose 3 pounds a month. No. Do not dial back your expectations. Just say, I'm going to lose 3 pounds this month. The reason why I didn't lose 3 pounds last month was because of these things. That's what I need to dial back on, doing those things. I need to figure out how to fix all of that. Not saying, you know what I should do? I should set a zero weight loss goal. How does that get you where you want to go? Like if I said, oh yeah, like don't do that anymore. In a year, would you like to just be the exact same weight? You'd be like, well, fuck no. Well, that's how you get there. By not working on the stuff. It's like, are you willing to like take an honest look as to why you didn't lose 3 pounds last month? What's going on there? What are you going to be willing to challenge yourself with this month? If you're still overeating, I'd work on overeating. I wouldn't work on my four circles. I'd work on what's causing the four circles to not be met. And quit feeling like a failure because of it. You know what I'd feel? Determined. Willing. I'd feel disappointed. I wouldn't feel like a failure, though. Let me tell you, whenever I don't make a goal, I'm very disappointed. Because I expected it. And that's okay. But I don't beat myself up. Like, I don't sit there and go like, well, see, you shouldn't have been believing that. You should have just, like, not tried. So disappointed. I'm like, no, I'm disappointed. You know why? Because I totally expected to do that. So if that was my expectation, what didn't happen? Where do I need to take some ownership? What do I need to do next month to fix those things? That's what I do. I never make it mean that I can't do something or that I'll never be able to or anything like that. I stay out of all of that. I'm always asking myself, like, how do I need to, like, work on myself? This is my opportunity to, like, figure out some shit. Thank God it did happen this way. Because I don't want to wake up in a year from now and still be thinking that the number on the scale
if I just quit looking at it, I'll feel better. I don't want that life. I want to be able to see the number in my bank account. I want to be able to see the number on the scale. I want to be able to see, like, the number of anything. And it never meant anything about Corinne. It's always just an indicator of what to do next. That's it. I don't hide from numbers. They can't hurt me. The only thing that ever hurts Corinne is the way Corinne thinks about Corinne. Period. What the heck is going on when I'm in the middle of an overeat and I tell myself to walk away and put down the cookie? But at that moment, I choose the cookie instead of my goal, like I'm being possessed. You're not possessed. You're just not choosing your goal. The second the cookie is done, regret and shame pour in. How do I make myself think rationally in the moment and stop the overeat? So you need a trigger in the middle. So here's the first thing. I can have this cookie, but guess what? From now on, I eat a cookie with a piece of paper. And I get to write about eating the cookie during the thing. You've got to make that conscious. Like, a lot of you think because you have a thought in the middle, like, don't eat the cookie or whatever. That's like first step. And that's a good awareness point. But then your unconscious brain's coming flying right back in and saying, yeah, well, you probably ought to eat that really fast before this conscious brain has an opportunity to really tell us what to do. So here's what I would do. Make an agreement with yourself. This is for all of you. If I'm going to overeat from now on, when I'm going to overeat, like, know your patterns. Like, you know what? I'm probably not going to get the piece of paper out when my whole family's sitting there if I'm munching off their plates. But there are plenty of opportunities where I eat by myself, where I'm sneaking around trying to get some food, where I'm doing it in a place where I absolutely could sit with a piece of paper. I don't even care if it's a little note card. A lot of you could buy things like, let me see if I have it in here. No, it's in my other room. I have a lot of sticky note pads, like all sizes and whatnot. Keep them with you. And then when you're eating a cookie, you just start writing down the thoughts about the cookie. I'm eating this cookie right now because I just really want it. I don't even want to tell myself no. Like, I know if I eat it fast, I'll at least get to eat the cookie. Whatever the thoughts are, write them down while you're eating it. Moving into that conscious state of making yourself do that sucks the joy out of eating the cookie. Eventually, you'll stop doing it because you won't want to do that part. Take the sticky note and then get out your PNP binder and just put the sticky note right in there. If I was you guys, I would have sticky notes in every place that you can find in your house. And then as things, like all the usual haunts, and then as you eat or do whatever, you just write stuff down and you just put it right on that piece of paper so that you have tracks of all of it. And that act of having sticky notes in a pen places and you have to grab it before you eat is often enough to overcome some of the habits you have with overeating to lose some weight before you even get into even more serious stuff. I would just knock all the low-hanging fruit out as fast as you can. And then once you do that and you're losing weight, guess what? You got some momentum. You got some motivation and stuff. You're probably going to be more willing to tackle some other stuff. But a lot of you are still sitting around doing this type of dieting. Well, here I am eating cookies. I'm never going to be able to lose weight. I'm just not going to track shit for a few days. Well, that didn't work, so I'm not going to do that. Like, I had this thought, I don't know why it didn't, like, stop me with eating the cookie. So from now on, I'm not going to think that anymore. That didn't work. It's like, come on. We're going to have to do things, like, 30, 40 times before it actually works. Y'all are going to have to quit giving up so easily. And you're going to also have to quit having false expectations that you're going to change one thought and all, everything's now easy. Or everything's going to change on a dime. It's not. You're going to be constantly just applying things and thinking things through until it gets easier to do all of that. It's repetition and practice. It's conscious all the time. You either want to lose the weight or you don't. If you don't want to do that work, boom, get out. I'm just saving all of you time. Like, if you don't want to do that work, then don't. And quit telling yourself a frustrating thought of, well, I want it, but I don't know. It didn't work. Like, notice where your brain's going, guys.
Like, really notice where your brain goes and be like, do I really want to lose weight? If I really want to lose weight, there will never be a day that I don't make a plan and have an assessment. I will not bitch and moan about it. I will not pretend I'm busy. I will not say things like, I'm not a planner. You know who doesn't plan? People struggling with their weight. If you want to be like not a planner, then also be a weight struggler. I would much rather weight loss be easier and hate planning. I'm just going to tell you right now, most of the days when I plan my work schedule, I have to make myself do it because then I have to see everything that I'm going to do for the day and hold myself accountable to it. There are all sorts of things that I do in this life that I don't like, but I love the result. And you've just got to decide. At some point, you're going to have to quit going through life saying, I got to love all parts. I got to want all of it. It's like all needs to be perfect. You're in the wrong world if that's the case. You might as well check out of Earth because Earth is not designed that way. I was doing the compelling video lesson last night and it totally related to your compelling reason. I always felt like being hot was a superficial reason to lose weight. Here is my question and dilemma. My why to be healthy, strong, and hot, but at the same time, this scares me to death because I was abused sexually and being hot makes me feel more desirable and vulnerable. Do you have any mental exercises that could help me move past this? Yeah, so like I tell people this all the time. Overweight people, people who are like not attractive, are raped every single day. Grandmothers are raped every day. 80-year-old women are raped every day. This is a story your brain is telling you. It is just a lie. Anyone could be raped at any time. There's also way more evidence that none of us are going to be raped. Your hotness, I'm going to tell you right now, the way you look, your hotness and stuff, has very little to do with why someone chooses to rape someone. Someone who chooses to rape someone is doing it because they have a problem in their brain. But they're not sitting around being choosy. You know what they're doing? They're looking for people that it's easy to rape. And I know this. I almost was raped when I was 16 at a restaurant. I was not particularly hot at 16. You know what I was? Standing outside at night trying to get into my car next to an alley. That had way more to do with it than anything else. So like, and I was robbed at knife point at 16. It wasn't because I was hot. It was because I was at a gas station while my boyfriend was inside paying and we were in the ghetto. He wasn't sitting there going, oh, there's a hot 16-year-old. We have to quit telling ourselves these stories, guys. When you are, like, abused as a child, when you are, like, your weight doesn't protect you from bad things happening in this world. The people who do bad things in this world do it because there's something wrong with them. Not because you were a good candidate. This is the unfortunate thing. There's plenty of good candidates for them. And that's just the way it works. And living your life thinking like it's such a dangerous lie to tell yourself that you're protecting yourself. All you're really doing is you're living in fear. That's not protecting you. Living confidently and owning your life and not letting any of that stuff rule you anymore. That's when you know you're not a victim. That's when you step into who you are. Can I have a do-over or a restart? Everybody gets to do it whenever they want to. I can't tell you yes or no. You've got to choose it. That's the big thing. I'm way behind. No one's ever behind. Well, let's just put it this way. You're not behind. Everything on the website is there for you to use, and it's called self-paced. So if you're behind, it's because you're thinking you're behind. It's not because you are. Everything is self-paced. We're going to have people join in June. Not that many, because I'm only opening for, I'm just the tribe. You're the only people who are going to hear this.
We're only opening one day in June. I purposely want it small because I want to work with all of you through the summer. I have like, oh my God, I cannot wait for the July course. I know I keep telling you guys this, but it's my birthday month. But I just have some things that I want to get done throughout this summer. And so we're having a very small one-day opening only, and that's it. So you're not behind. Those people will be starting No BS just like everybody else has. There are people who will start No BS today in our tribe now who've just decided, like, you know what? I'm going to kickstart myself. I'm going to start No BS today. So you're never behind. The program is just self-paced. You just take it where you want it. What else do you have to say? You joined in April and you've lost 12 pounds and somehow you're behind. That is some bullshit you're telling yourself. I got below my goal and then I self-sabotaged and gained it back. Okay, so you already know how to lose 12 pounds. So start over and do that shit again. Except this time, figure out why you self-sabotage yourself. What were you thinking? That's all you got to do. And then this time the 12 pounds stays off. That's it. This week was the anniversary of my mom's death, teacher appreciation, and just having a fuck it attitude. All right, so here's what I wanted to tell you, Kathy. This is really important. It's the anniversary of your mom's death. It's teacher appreciation week. That has nothing to do with your weight. That's called life. And then you overate. Not because of all of that. You overate because you chose to eat. That's it. Guys, I talked about this on Queen's Club last night. It's super important if you guys start telling yourself this over and over and over again. You never say, I overate because of something. Always say from now on, I overate because I chose to overate. And I chose to overate because I was thinking this about that. That is how it always works. Always, always, always works. And the more you allow yourself to believe it, and the more you say it, and the more you tell yourself that, then what happens is life can happen. I can have flat tires. My mom can be diagnosed with cancer. My cat could die. Traffic could be horrible. It's free donut day on Friday. All of those things can happen. And you don't automatically say like, oh my God, see, this is why I overeat. Because if you think things cause overeating, then you'll always have things happening in the world. We can't slow the world down. We can't just say like, oh, by the way, world, I'm losing weight over here. I need you to behave at least for 6 months. I've got like 50 pounds to lose. The world is like, we don't behave because you have 50 pounds to lose. You know what we do? We do the world, and you are supposed to learn how to do the world while losing 50 pounds. That is how it works. And that is why I teach you guys, you never overeat because of the world. You overeat because it's a choice. You always want to be in that space. So everybody today, I want like 50 times repeated. I overeat because I choose it, not because of anything that ever happens to me. I am taking full ownership of myself from this point on. That's the way we roll in PNP Tribe. We don't roll like Weight Watchers. Weight Watchers is like waiting on Oprah to do it all the work. It's like, I'll preach, but y'all gonna have to take ownership. Like, we're not gonna sit here and celebrate bread all day. Although I like some bread. In fact, Chris and I were saying we're gonna have date night at home this week. And I was like, do you want Aunt JJ to make something special? Or do we want to throw down that Subway? We're pretty much leaning on the Subway. I did say it'd be kind of cool to have Aunt JJ make us like a romantic meal, and she's coming tomorrow anyway. It's like, maybe she can make us something special. And we're like, yeah, but God, it's like Subway. Yesterday, I felt shame when comparing my 57 obese self with arthritic knees with my 66-year-old assistant who could walk out my huff and puff himself, looking for suggestions to reframe the thought. I would just tell myself, I don't compare, like, here's the reframe. I don't compare myself anymore. That's how comparison steals my joy in life. And I'm done letting comparison steal joy in life. And I'm working on it. Hell, you're in the tribe. Just tell yourself, I'm exactly where I need to be to work on stuff like that I'm thinking. I'm done making that a big deal in my brain. What I'm going to do is now start working on making sure that those thoughts can come through and blow on by.
Guys, I'm going to tell you about this comparison shit. You're always going to be comparing yourself. That is the way the brain is designed. The brain's designed to look out into the world and start judging automatically. It does that because back in the day, we needed to judge everything and everyone because at any moment, someone was trying to kill us for our, you know, for our cave. Someone was trying to kill us so that we could be a meal. Or something was killing us. Something was trying to kill us because it was poison and we didn't know if it was going to work for us or not. The brain is still designed to just judge for safety. The problem is we live in the modern world. And we don't have someone trying to kill us. We got some bitch out walking us. It's like judgment time. It's like her out walking you is a perceived threat in your brain. I'm the weaker species. She's going to outwalk me, and maybe the tiger will get me first. The brain thinks on that level. But we have two parts to our brain. The unconscious brain is the one that's like, oh, shit. Like, she's outpacing us. What if, like that? What does that mean about me? I'm probably going to die. Like, terrible, terrible, terrible. The brain just runs there. We have a conscious part of our brain. This is the override. This is the part that in the modern day and age, what with new science is finding that as evolved humans in the modern day age, we have to start utilizing it more. That just means like that's where this part of the brain, it's not that you need a reframe. You just need to be like, oh, I like that's normal for me to like go to thinking something like that. But here, like we're fine. We're in the tribe. We're learning how to think different. This is going to be great. At some point, I'm going to lose some weight and like, who knows? My knees might even feel better. Maybe she can give me some walking tips. Who knows? Like, that is where your conscious brain overrides things. I'm at the point where I feel lost in my weight loss journey. I don't understand why. I know what I have to do. I can give all the advice in the world to my Marco Polo buddies, but I don't listen to my own suggestions. I'll find a way to dismiss it and think I have to do all the things to ever figure out for me. Your brain is wired to think you have to do all the things, and then you have to say, like, nope, not doing all the things today. Here's my list. Here's exactly what I am doing today. The rest of it shelved. Some point, like, you need to be on to yourself. You're wanting to, like, what we call fondle thought work. I want to keep feeling like shit, and I want to keep thinking about how shitty I feel, and I want to keep processing how shitty I feel, and I want to stay in this shitty state. At some point, you're just going to have like, okay, well, I'm going to feel shitty, and here's what I'm also going to do. I'm calling myself bullshit. It's not all the things I need to do. Here's the only things I get to do today. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to feel like shit only doing these things. Rather than feeling like shit that I can't get my shit together. Stop fondling the model and stop fondling the thought work. You know your problems. Once you know your problems, then you have to just get to work. You know your problem is all or nothing. That means the hardest work you'll ever do is baby step. It's way easier to sit around and do nothing, which is what you're doing. Sitting around doing nothing but feeling like shit. You're used to feeling like shit. You want to stay feeling like shit. Like now, we're just going to sit there and we're going to do the baby steps. And that is going to be excruciating. And I'm signing up for excruciating baby steps. One percenters. I'm going to have to be so imperfect and deal with all of that. That's when you know you're actually leveling up. This whole idea of like, I'm going to keep manipulating thought work and sitting around in my shit and whatnot. No, don't cut that no more. No pity parties anymore. Just don't get them. And when you try to do a pity party, you're just like, well, if I can't do a pity party, what do I have to do? Oh, a 1% and deal with the discomfort of a 1%. That's where you're at. You don't need to figure, I need to help figure out why I'm not my own best friend. You know why? Because you're saying bullshit. Problem solved. There's no deeper reason. Amika, your problem is you're looking for deep reasons and you're not doing things. You're on the hunt for problems. Like, I need to know why I'm not my best friend. No, you don't. You need to know why you're not doing the 1%. That's what you need to know. Why am I not doing 1%? Oh, it's because I didn't write down my 1% today, and I didn't do that. You're going to need to do 1% while sitting here thinking it's not enough. You have to practice doing things that you think aren't enough to prove, oh, wait, that is enough. So maybe if these things are enough, maybe I'm good enough to do this. That's how you become your own best friend. You don't become your own best friend by trying to dig around in your past and figure out why you're not your own best friend. Who gives a fuck? I don't give a shit. Like, guys, I'm going to tell you right now, I say this at camp all the time, retire the backstories. I don't give a damn what happened to you in your past. I really don't. You know why? Because you shouldn't either. You should stay out of that past. If you don't like the past, quit vacationing there. It is not a trip worth paying for. And you're paying for it every single day at the expense of your dreams, at the expense of every goal you have. I want you to think about this. Every time you take a vacation to your past, you have borrowed money from your future to pay for it. And I would stop doing that dead straight right now. The only people that can go back to their past are the ones who have reconciled with it, who understand that their past does not dictate today, that their past is over and it's got some lessons in it, and that's the best thing it's got. But if you go back there and you feel bad, you're not looking for lessons. You're looking for excuses. And there's a huge difference there. When you go back to your past, you better be looking for proof and evidence that it gave you everything you need today to get closer to your dream. But if you're going back there to find proof and evidence of why today's going to be harder, you're in the wrong shopping aisle at the store. Go to the aisle where dreams, goals, next steps, hopes, and aspirations are sold. That is going to be in your data. That is going to be in your past week data. That is going to be in the version of you that you're envisioning for yourself. That is going to be you asking your future self, what do you really need to be working on today? What is the most important thing you could be working on today? Nobody's future self is saying, I'll tell you what you need to be working on, being perfect. Because your future self isn't perfect. You know what your future self is? A collection of imperfections to get to where she wanted so that when things aren't going perfectly, she knows exactly how to eat. She knows exactly how to show up for herself. That is your future self. So quit going to your past self who has terrible advice and start going to her. What time do we start this call? 9? Oh, ooh. All right. Last questions. I'm going to roll through these and then we're done. So I have a good grasp on the 24-hour plan and the hunger scale. Should this be when I start tweaking the food to more healthier options instead of just realistic? Yes, this is a really good time. Not wanting to move into diet mentality, but feeling that I should start tweaking things into healthy. That's not diet. Diet mentality does never say tweak. Diet mentality says this isn't good enough. That's when you know when you're doing diet mentality. Diet mentality will say what you're doing is not good enough. Like, you probably should be doing this. When you're ready to level up, it says, I think I'm ready for this. I'm going to try this. It's very curious. It's like, ooh, if I could do this, maybe I can do that. That is like when you know you're in the groove. I'm using the Rise Up app in conjunction with being in the tribe. I don't even know what that is. It involves daily one-on-one coaching on my phone, and I really like the tribe curriculum for the deeper mental work. One thing my Rise coach really wants me to do is never make a concrete weight goal. Example, lose 10 pounds in a month. She likes the idea of joining a step bet instead, for example, which is a goal I can control directly versus the above. You can control your weight. Like, I'm just going to tell you, I don't know who the fuck they are, but I'm going to give you my opinion. Guys, I would never, like, she is saying, oh, well, don't do that because you're not in control. It's like, fuck you are. You know what you're in control of? You can set a goal. You can totally either nail it or you don't, and you're in control of what you make it mean. I don't care if you do step bet stuff, but don't ever do it because somebody told you that setting a goal somehow is going to sabotage you. Goals don't sabotage. Goals don't do anything. You know what goals do? Tether you to a direction. Your job is to go into that direction. And whether you hit it or not, your job is to be curious as to why you hit it or why you didn't. And all of the shame and all the bull is like all on you if you choose to take it. Do not let some, like, I think it's great, but, like, don't let somebody convince you that you are not in control of your brain. How would you marry the four circle weight goals with this idea? How important is a number goal to you? And do you entirely, I guess I answered that. I'm someone who's on a 100-pound path, down 40 currently. You're obviously doing fine setting weight loss goals. Just tell them, like, look, my other coach told me I get to feel any way I want about a number goal. I choose to feel empowered by it. And you know what? If I don't meet the goal, I'm going to, like, amaze you. Because I'm going to be one of those people who don't make it mean something about me. How about we talk about that Rise app? Like, that's what I would tell her. I'm pretty sure they're doing a great job. I mean, obviously it's working for you and stuff. But this is what I want you to say. Like, hey, what do you think about this? What if I just decide that I'm going to lose 10 pounds and I'm going to do everything I can to lose my 10 pounds in a way that feels right for me? And if I don't lose the 10, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be so curious about my data and tweak things and learn from it. But I'm also one of those people who will never beat myself up over stuff like that. I will just rise up to my challenges. That can totally happen for all of you. I'm a stay-at-home mom and currently knocking the four basics out of the park, having success. At some point in the next 2 to 4 years, I'll go back to practicing law. I am panicked that I will gain my weight back because law is challenging. Law is not challenging. That is a thought. I want you to, like, think about this. We have lawyers in here who are not panicking about going to work every day. In fact, my lawyer, who's been a tribe member for 9 years, Autumn Witt Boyd, who's in here, is a lawyer who owns her own law firm. And she is not panicked every day that she goes to work because it's so challenging, I might gain my weight back. She's like, no, I have a job. Like, I'm a lawyer. And I show up for that. And then I also have a body and I show up for that. This is, like, food is a coping mechanism because you think law can do something to you or being a lawyer can do something to you. You could totally be one of those lawyers. This is how we know this is a thought. We have a lot of lawyers in the tribe who aren't panicked every day about their weight and how it relates to being a lawyer. We also have a lot of lawyers in the tribe who go to work and find it challenging but not stressful. You get to view things the way you want to. It's just like a lot of people would think that, like, owning your own business and running your own team, that must be stressful. Hell, y'all write me in all the time talking about, like, I know you've been so stressed this week. I'm like, really? Y'all know this? People at camp will say the same thing. They'll come up to me at camp and just be like, I know you've got to just be so exhausted. I'm like, I am? I'm getting, like, 8 hours of sleep. It's all in how you think about it. I never think about my job as stressful. Ever. And I work 7 days a week. All the time. You know why? Not because it's stressful. And not because there's a lot to do. Because I love it. Like, I just love it. I like, my husband and I, every date night, we talk about it. Like, it's my son is learning how to code so he can code stuff for you guys. Like, it is a family fabric business. It is rare, like, the 24 hours a day, about the only time PNP is not talked about or anything is when we're asleep. And half the time I dream about things I'm going to do the next day. Like, I woke up this morning at 4 o'clock in the morning thinking about something that I was wanting to write and came in here and wrote it out real quick. Because my brain doesn't think about it being stressful. It thinks about it being exhilarating and purposeful and life-changing and all this other stuff. Yeah, it comes with, you know, long work weeks. A lot of hours. A lot of focus. I do get tired. But I refuse to think about it as anything other than I choose it every day. And it's the same thing with any job you guys have. It's like thinking about, like, what do you want to, like, how do you want to think about, this would be really good for you to think. How do you want to think about being a lawyer? Stressful? Why go back then? Like, you have 2 to 3 years. Is that? Yeah. You have 2 to 4 years
to get your brain wrapped around what you want that career to be. You have all that time to do your thought work on it. You have all that time to lose your weight the way you want to lose it, knowing that you never have anything in your life ever again that is the cause of weight gain. The only thing that ever causes weight gain is overeating. You have 2 to 4 years to practice. Like, I don't cope with food anymore. Like, I have all this time to, like, sit there and, like, be uncomfortable and feel my feelings and all this other kind of stuff. Like, you've got all the time you need. Would you compare the difference with camp to the 2-day pre-camp intensive work? I'm all in for attending camp in October. I have that on my calendar, but now I'm thinking I might benefit more from the event in August, formerly the 2-day intensive prior to camp. I just feel like I really need to kick my gear. All right, so here's going to be the difference. And this guy, guys, the information is going out, I'm hoping, this weekend. I've got the webpage done, just waiting on the registration form at this point. The camp, I want you guys to think about it as like girls' weekend, where you're going to come and you're going to work as a big group on stuff, but you're here to like get away from the distractions of life. You're here to like bond, be with your tribe. It's like Zoom calls on steroids. So it's a lot of just like, we're going to do some group work and a few people are going to get coached. And then we're going to like, you know, just do those things. That is what, and then we have a party. And we just go until 5 o'clock each day and we're done. And you guys have the rest of the night to like have girls' weekend, to like get away from it all, to like let all this sink in and absorb. The 2-day is now turned into almost a 3-day. So it will start at noon on Friday and then it will go all day Friday till 5. And then there will be a workshop with the coaches at night. Saturday will be all day with me again. And then another workshop with the coaches at night where we're going to be teaching you some detailed skills. And then it's going to be most of the day on Sunday. There is no partying. There is no none of that. Like, you're coming here to transform. My goal with the 2-day, or when now we're calling it the transformation with Corinne. My goal is when you arrive, you know what you want to work on. And when you leave, you are like me. You know exactly how to self-coach. You know exactly what to do. You have your mindset on how you're going to take this and change something that you've been struggling with for a long time. Like, you're going to know your purpose. You're going to know why you want to do it. And you're going to like really like, it's more about learning the skills that I use to like blow through my major obstacles. And it's smaller and it's more intensive because we're working like in a small group. So there's only going to be 50 people at this thing for almost, well, it's basically 3 days with workshops. There's just no, like, we're not going to be going out and doing things and all this other kind of stuff. It's like, you're really there. Like, you're going to leave excitedly tired. Camp is a little different. You come to camp, it's your opportunity to, like, be there, be inspired, to recharge, to crank on, like, just crank up that battery. Learn some, like, you'll take lots of notes and stuff. You'll do workshop-y things, like, all, like, throughout camp. What we do is we'll do something, and then as a group, you'll have, like, discussion, and then we come back as a big group, and then I coach on these topics, and then we keep doing that all weekend long. And then we party. It's more like, I like to think of, like, camp weekend as your recharge with your girls, and the transformation experience is, it's like going to school. Like, you're here to like arrive with something very specific to work on and leave ready to take it home and then really do the work and understand what's been stopping you and what you need as far as tools and stuff to move past that. So it's more intensive. And almost everybody in that, I don't ever say everybody gets coached anymore because we have some people who are just like, I do better really just listening and taking notes. Like, I don't necessarily need to be coached, or they'll grab a coach and get coached on the side during lunch or something, which is totally fine. But a lot of people, like, I will do like 2 people at a time. Like, we're working with 2 people with the same problem and I coach them at the same time. So it's not that like I'm going to walk around and call on every single person. I do call on some people. Like, if some people say, like, I'm going to need you to call me out, when that topic comes up, I'm like, come on, it's your turn. I know you don't want to, but we're going to get into this. But Man, I can go through a lot of people in 3 days. And I love the idea of that the coaches are doing these workshops at night, because I want you to go have dinner and I want you to come back. And they're going to teach you a method or a tool to use when you go home that is like that we just don't cover in the main tribe, that's best taught in a group setting. Let's see. The transformation with Corinne is going to open, I'm hoping this weekend. If not, it'll be next week. I'm waiting on my husband to do the registration form. That's all. If I can just get, you know, Mr. Chris is at work during the day, so he only has at night. And a lot of times at night, he's working with Logan on some stuff. So we, you know, I really try to balance my demands of PMP on knowing that, you know, his top two demands right now are his job and our son. And PNP sometimes, it's, you know, has to be third. But Logan will be out of school soon, and then PNP can move around in there a little bit. Because Logan will probably spend half the summer with his grandmother who lives down the street now. I started to put 3 non-diet goals in my planner. When I accomplish other things, I feel better about myself. But should they be diet goals? No, you can put whatever you want in there. That's fine. What to do if you want to lose a little faster for an event? Be hungrier. That's probably the best thing. I would say if you just, like, let's say you have an event and you're just like, I just need to get a few extra pounds off. And, like, you really want to and you're motivated by that. And this is not like a, you know, like a have to because I want everybody to notice me kind of thing. If it's literally just, you know, you want to, then all I would say is just, like, go to -3 before you eat. And then still go to your 2, and that will be fine. The transformation weekend is, hang on, I'll tell you. I think it's August 9th, 10th, and 11th, if I'm not mistaken. Hang on 1 second, I'll tell you. Yeah, it's August 9th, 10th, and 11th, and we will get the registration and everything up. I'll try to get the information page up today for all you guys, so if you go over to events, it might be there. But I have meetings literally all day today, so if I don't get it up today, I'll definitely get it up tomorrow. I only have meetings until 1 o'clock, or 2 o'clock tomorrow. I thought only 1 o'clock, but it's still 2 o'clock tomorrow. All right, guys, y'all have a good one. I will talk to you soon. I'll see you tomorrow for the noon weekend motivator. Bye, y'all.